April the 6th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomiragespeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, New Africa Excellent Mirage Speaks. We are asking everyone to make a dua, a small prayer for our brother Imam Musa, Muslim Abui, the great grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington, is in the hospital. We're asking Allah to bless our brother to get well and return back to his family and his community. Also, Sister Dolores Truesdale is out of the hospital, recovering at home. And we're asking to continue to pray for her full recovery. We are asking everyone a dua prayer for our sister, Al-Haji Bayina, now she passed away. May Allah forgive her her faults and her sins and grant her paradise. She was buried today, but you don't need the body. We pray for the soul of the person. So we are asking you to pray for her soul. And may Allah bless her children and Mubin, her husband, to have strong faith in their hour of bereavement. Allah and whole creation. El-Hadith, page 1307 and 100, Allah hand on group. God is so big, he controls all the creation in his one hand. So this is Quran. It says all of creation, that means stars, earth, moon, sun, whatever is beyond the heavenly body. Beyond that, says he holds it all in his one hand. Now, you know, God doesn't look like this. In Arabic, hands means control. Means God holds all of that in his one control. He has many controls, but he holds all of the heaven and the earth in just one control. And really, hand means for us control too. I'm going to handle you if you don't handle yourself. So handle you if you don't handle yourself. So it means control in our language. Allah and Quran created man, Prophet Hajj. The Quran, Surah 67, Ayat 1, Allah handholds creation. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 to 4, Allah taught the Quran. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 3, Islam perfected religion. Khalifa, the male is not that by himself. He must have male and female and sensitivity. Then Adam came, and then the woman comes, distant from each other. But originally, the word meant both male and female. So whatever the Khalifa is, the man is not that by himself. Khalifa is male and female. So whenever Khalifa, whatever Khalifa means, the man is not that by himself. It takes the woman with him. He has to become that, nefs and wahida. Again, before he qualifies to be the Khalifa. It takes a woman with him. You have to have two operating. Then he is the Khalifa. So you say, how are you going to get a woman back into the man? He has to be born again or has to be created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the sensitivity that a woman has. He has to have both the male sensitivity and the woman's sensitivity if he is to be the best, the type of ruler that God wants for us on this earth. African Americans are a new creation of God. The life, the blood, experiences of slavery as it began down in the South on the plantation is really the beginning of our history as a people in this part of the world or in the world. Because actually what has been created, some of us, actually represents a new human creation or a new social creation. And I would think that it is the strong minority that we have of free thinkers. Recently, an unpopular African-American, the conservative who sits on the Supreme Court as judge, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, he was a keynote speaker in Chicago, and he made this statement. It was published in the paper the next day. He said that he invites blacks to become free thinkers. Now, that's no new invitation. Du Bois said, to the extent that we will go to teach our children to think will be the measure of our freedom. So what is he saying? That we will expand the measure of our freedom. We can have more freedom the more we think independently or the more we think on our own and pass it down to our next generation. Think on your own. Think on your own. I never told Muslim Journal to put that in the paper. I think on that they kept in there now. On the educational page, the academic page, school page, the statement ends with me saying, I will never give up the pleasures or dignity that I have of thinking for myself. I will never give that up. I'm going to always think for myself. I thought there had been about three of them in there now. One of them was actually taken from the prophet himself, his own saying, when the Muslim or the believer endeavors to do anything, whether it is draw a picture or sell some goods to the market or on the market or get a good score in school as a student or clean up the house, whatever, cook the meal, say that the Muslim, the believer, whenever he endeavors to do anything, seeks to perfect it. He seeks to perfect it. Hand of Allah is on the group and hold the whole universe in one hand. So that tells me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever the messenger prayers and the peace be upon him offer you, accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory, made it an obligation on me that when the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him say something, I accept it without questioning it, without doubting it. The prophet prayers and the peace be upon him himself has obligated us to accept responsibility. To be responsible, there's a saying, the hand of God is on the group, meaning that collective body, Juma means the collective body. If we say, bring the people together, put them together, or call the thing together, we say Ijma. So Juma means after the thing has been made into one branch or into one collection, put them all together. So the hand of Allah is on the group. What does the hand mean? Allah speaks of himself as having two hands, just like we have two hands. Yadaha is two hands. And we left it really wondering or guess at what these two hands mean. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just in his one hand alone, he holds the whole universe, all creation. Then he asked Iblis, the fallen angel in Western theology, Christianity theology, what is the matter with you that you refuse to bow or make sujda to this man that I have made with my two hands? He said, my two hands. Two hands for creating and teaching man. So we know now that what the two mean. The studious thinkers right away come to the conclusion, and he now knows what these hands are. One hand is the hand of the creation. The other hand is the hand of teaching. Allah's hand, one, teaches man to create a universe. So with one hand, he teaches man himself. God himself teaches the man. So with the other hand, he created the whole world that he had to later teach man about. So what are the hands? Look in the English language to understand what hands mean. First, look at the word handicap. Handicap means that he is impaired. His ability is seriously hurt. So his material, his natural ability is impaired or seriously hurt. Look at the word handle. Can you handle this? After meaning, do you have the ability to take charge of this affair? So hand, even in English, must have a meaning originally in responsibility for the ability to manage life. To manage, right? The ability to manage. And if you have the ability to manage, then you can accept the responsibility for that particular thing. If you have the ability to manage, can you manage driving a car? Okay, they'll give you a license. If you can manage driving a car, they will give you a license. Can you handle it? That's the word I want, handle. Most of the things that we have a handle on, the handle, it is the main control. Isn't it? So the handle is main control. So we can come to the conclusion that the hand means control. The control, the entity represents the control is the hand. Now God is saying that he has in his control the whole creation that he made. Isn't that where it is supposed to be? Yes. And God says, it's not there for God, both the creation that he made and also the authority or the command. Yes, the Quran is the authority. The Quran, yes. So we understand then that to mean that God has two main controls in the creation and in the life of man. The natural control from the creation that he made, he has that control in our lives, and the other control is a control by the way of enlightenment, and he has that too. So Mother Earth turned man to God. I'm a witness as a student now for about 50 years, a serious student studying the Word of God, studying the ways of the world. I am a witness that man has no great achievement whatsoever that he doesn't owe to revealed knowledge. Without revealed knowledge, he would still be drinking out of a skull, chasing women, and beating them over the head with sticks, with tree limbs, and stuff to get his pleasures. But he has been civilized. And the first to be civilized was the one that God guided who turned back to his God by way of study or researching the creation itself. Muhammad turned to the creation that bore him and his mother, so to speak, and he questioned his mother, and his mother pointed to his father, symbolically speaking, metaphorically speaking. God Almighty, this is how it happened. Don't think that it is correct for a Muslim to use that kind of language. It is not. I used it. I said metaphorically speaking. And I am going to clear up the mess by telling you it is forbidden for us to use that kind of language in al-Islam. There is no metaphor for God. But since the Christian world has that kind of language, it was easy for me to make my point with it to you, a Western product. So I used it. Adam as an incomplete creation, it was complete with Muhammad. God said he made his man with his two hands, both his hands. So what does this tell us about the man that God has as our first father? We know that he was referring to Adam. But for the scholars in Islam, especially for the blessed scholars in Islam, who thought have been blessed by God. So we know that Adam was incomplete when he was made. His completion began with the next prophet and the next prophet and the next prophet until the last one. With the last one, his creation is complete. The creation of Adam is complete. So the creation of Adam was not complete until Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was created. And how did Allah create Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him? Ar-Rahmanu, the merciful God, the beneficent God or the merciful benefactor. Khalika insan alima Quran. That's first. Then Khalika insan. He revealed the Quran, taught it, and then created the person. So Muhammad created twice. So Muhammad was created twice by two hands. He was perfect in his nature, creation, his natural creation, pardon me, before the revelation of the Quran came. And then God came and created him with other control, the hand of revelation. Then after he completed him, he said, El-Rahmanu. Not God the Father, the concept is non-existent, not God the Son, or the Holy Ghost. These concepts are non-existent, God the merciful benefactor. So you're going to separate him from the people. So he's the Khalifa. We worship him. There's a lot to be said about that, a lot to be said about that. Amir is a title, not Khalifa. I think I've already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. That is a mistake that they call their ruler the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their ruler Amir, because that is the title for which we have justification from Quran and from the life of the Prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran for the title Amir? God says to us, in order by what has been revealed, command order Amir. And God says to us, principles of shura, of mutual consultation. So this is the meeting of the mind, the mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matter and coming up with a consensus, a judgment they all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you and Amir. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves Amir. The biggest Amir, he is over all of us. So the president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, in this country. There are presidents of corporations, and other things, right? They are presidents too. But we have one president who is president of the United States, voted in by all the people. So he is the president of the United States. So we can have emirs here and emirs there, emirs over sweeping the floor. When the bakery closed down, who the emir was sweeping the crumbs up, brother? Alhamdulillah. So you are the emir. Take charge, brother. You are the emir. I believe if that had been done, it wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam, the prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer, and he has a plan to override all plans that may develop. His plan, as I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term, Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of Islamic scientists, came to the conclusion that the prophet is Rajulun Qalamun, meaning that he is the perfect man and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man. And the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he becomes the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that were expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 3, this day have those who reject faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I, your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be complete and perfect. On this day I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you, have perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete as God intended, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was a reflection of the Quran more so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of the Quran, and God has deposited the whole revelation into that vessel, to call the scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English. They spoke Arabic. As the embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. So you are going to separate from the people. So he is the Khalifa. We worship him. There's a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. Amir is the title, not Khalifa. So I think I have already told some of these brothers in private that it is a mistake. It is a mistake that they call their rulers the Khalifa. They should have continued to call their rulers Amir, is because that is a title for which we have justification from Quran. and from the life of the prophet. Where is the justification in the Quran? For the title Amir, God says to us, an order by what has been revealed, command order, Amir. And God says to us, order upon the principle of shura, of mutual consultation. So this is the meeting of the minds, the mature meeting of the best minds discussing the matter and coming up with a consensus, a judgment that they all support, right? So that's what God says to do. So the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no matter how small the task is, if it involves more than one person, choose you in a mirror. So from that, we can conclude that we can call ourselves a mirror, the biggest of mirrors. He is over all of us. The president of the United States is far from being the only president. There are a million presidents, more than that, country. There are presidents of corporations and other things, right? So they are presidents too. But we have one president who is the president of the United States, voted in by all the people. So he is the president of the United States. So we can have Amirs here and Amirs there. Amirs over sweeping the floor when the bakery closed down. Who is the Amir for the sweeping? The crumbs up, brother. Alhamdulillah. So you are Amirs. Take charge, brother. You are the Amir. I believe that if it had been done, we wouldn't have had so much intrigue, so much undermining, so much trouble for Islam. The prophet, the perfect man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foreseer, the all-knowing, and the foreseer, and he has a plan to override all plans that may develop his plan. As I understand it, as I perceive it, his plan was to bring more attention to this term Khalifa, because the people were not educated enough back then to understand the term Khalifa. They were just introduced to it, but the full meaning of it had not been given to them. It took them years of study, studying the life of the prophet, and only a few of them, a select few amongst the top scientists or the top scholars of the Islamic scientists, came to the conclusion that the prophet is Rajulun Tadamun, meaning that he is the perfect man, and he is also Rajulun Kamalun, the complete man. He is the complete man, and the complete man is the perfect man. Once God has completed the man as he intended for him to be made on this earth, then he becomes the perfect man. Perfect means meeting and satisfying the purpose or the desire or whatever that is perfect. So when the man has met the qualifications that were expected from him by God, then he is not only complete, but he is also perfect. The Quran Surah 5 Ayat, this day have those who rejected faith given up all hope of your religion. Yet fear them not, but fear me. This day have I perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. And the indication that Muhammad was perfect was with the proclaiming the Quran to be the complete and perfect. On this day, I have revealed for you your religion, completed my favor on you. I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor on you. So this is both. He completed his favor on us and perfected it. So completion and perfection goes together. The completion is the perfection. So when it is complete as God intends, it is the perfection. So Muhammad, according to Lady Aisha, was a reflection of the Quran more so than that, was the living Quran walking amongst us. That's how she described him. That's how the wife described the husband. So if he is, and if he has been the vessel for the last revelation of Quran, and God has deposited the whole of revelation into that vessel to call the scholarly lady, Aisha, may God be pleased with her, to identify him as the embodiment of the Quran. That's what she said. See, they didn't speak English, they spoke Arabic. As an embodiment, he is the embodiment of the Quran. Then as his identity, when she was asked to describe him, if his identity is really the embodiment of the Quran walking, living amongst us, expressing itself amongst us, in marvelous words and also with deeds, and if he was that and the Quran was complete and perfect, then he himself is also complete and perfect. So the scholarly reason that Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him is the answer to an age-long expectation that was on the wise of the world. That man was being moved by his creator, by his shaper, to better and more completion and complete form. That he is not finished. That's why it says, I will be what I am. I shall be what I am. What I am not yet, but I shall be what I am. So could say with any more confidence, comfort, than Adam himself. If he knew his creation, Adam is the one who says about, Adam is the one who should say that, Adam should say, that somebody may say, who are you, Adam? If Adam knew that he was created to be the Khalifa, and he really was incomplete, but it was coming. Adam represents a line of life that's continuous. Muhammad is Adam in completion and perfection. So if someone says Muhammad was Adam, am I incorrect? No, I'm perfectly correct. Muhammad was Adam in completion and perfection. He is Adam. So Adam started with the first creation, the first act of God, to create his man. And mind you, Allah did not say to the to the angels, I have created a man. I want you to respect him, God says. I am going to create a man. I'm going to create a Khalifa. If you look at the expression in the Quran and you as a person who has studied that word in grammatical rule, but in grammar, how is it to be explained grammatically? You will know that God was saying not that I created or that I am going to create. By reason, yes, I am going to create. But actually, what God said is, I am creating. I am in the act right now of creating Khalifa and Najalun. I am making a creation. When I am making him, where am I making him? In heaven, so in the earth. So I'm making it in the earth a Khalifa. That is what God says to the angels. But it's okay to translate it, I'm going to make in the earth a Khalifa. I'm not saying that we should do away with that translation. But for the teaching, you should make it clear that the verb says, I am making at this time. I am doing this. And I am making now, I am making a ruler or a Khalifa in the earth. God spoke of Adam. Adam was the first step in the work, in that plan. Adam had in himself at that time the concept God created. And the concept at that time had all future possibilities in it. Although Adam at that time had not awakened to all of those possibilities, all the future possibilities in him. Adam, when he was made, he became father of all generations, the father of even our leader, our prophet, the last prophet, Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon him. So Muhammad the eighth led seven prophets in prayers. So we know, according to the teaching of the prophet, Adam was the first concept, and out of him it was possible to have all the others' concepts. According to the teachings of the prophet, it was possible to have Jesus the Christ, peace be upon him, and it was possible to have after him Joseph, Yusuf, peace be upon him, then, and Idris, the fourth, peace be upon him, and Harun, Aaron, the fifth, peace be upon him, and Musa, Moses, the sixth, peace be upon him, and Abraham, the seventh, peace be upon him, and Muhammad, the completion of all of them, who led them all in prayer. Peace be upon them. He was the eighth, and he led the seventh in prayer. So prayer is the word of the Quran. So this is Islamic teaching. He led the seven in prayer, even his father Adam. He led his father Adam in prayer. He led his father Abraham in prayer. What is this telling us? That here is the son, the last son, in the prophetic progression. The last son, he led even his two fathers in prayer. Did he lead them in anything other than prayers? No, only in prayer. What is the prayer? The word. What is the word? The Quran. The completion and the perfection that they all was aspiring to reach. Now here's the answer coming in the last one. And without a doubt, he saw him in the clear horizon. So he led them in prayers to demonstrate to us, by way of metaphor, to demonstrate to us that here is the line of growth completed. Here is what Adam wanted. Here is what Christ Jesus wanted. Here is what Joseph wanted, Yusuf wanted. Here is what Idris wanted. Here is what Aaron wanted. Here is what Moses wanted. Here is what Father Abraham wanted. So this is what they all wanted. They wanted the arrow to reach its target. And here it is fired out of the bow. Two traveling along to the destination as though they are one, reconciled perfectly, hitting the target perfectly. The Quran says he met him on the far horizon. It was a long ways from Adam's death, a far horizon. But the spirit finally got there, and the job was complete and perfected, yes. So this is the way we should understand it. Christianity is no threat. What is their justification for withholding this knowledge from their masses? They are slave masters. Intentionally or unintentionally, they are slave masters. So this is the common knowledge that will protect us and allow us to grow in strength and in quality, numbers, and quality. So this is the knowledge we need. If the world gave their followers, I'm speaking of Muslim world, what I give you, they wouldn't have to worry about Christians coming amongst them, converting Muslims. There would be no threat coming from Christianity. How can they be a threat from a lower plane to a higher plane? God has been raising this up from lower planes to higher planes. And we claim that Abraham and us sets on the higher plane. And how can there be any threat from our zone, from these zones beneath us? So this is not to speak, show disrespect or to speak in a disrespectful way of Christianity and Judaism? No, it is not at all. But it is simply to say that if they all they have, that's all they have. It was, is what was written for them. We don't have anything to worry about. Now, God has progressed their thinking and enabled them to extract from what has been revealed to their prophet of old and see the light as it should be seen in its completion and perfection. We still don't have anything threatening from them. We should make them our allies. We should become allies because we have been blessed by God, all of us, to come to the promised land. Now, the purpose is me dwelling on the complete or the idea of Khalifa like this all this long time is because I believe that it is our strongest starting point when we want to understand what is my existence. What is this thing here I call me, my flesh, my body? Little baby. It can teach us something. We say, I'm going to take a bath. But listen to the little baby. Sometimes there is a little alert baby in the house, or a young child in the house. And you say bath, and the baby will say body. Do I have to wash my body? Body, that's what you are. You are a body. And consciousness is in the body, consciousness. Talking about Khalifa, so we have dwelled on this term all of this time to establish that the starting point for us and understanding what we are and where we should be or where we should be going is Khalifa. He gives us the complete picture that should be motivation in our life for even interest that we have for every area of field of interest. Khalifa should be in the thing that generates confidence, hope in us. What can we not accomplish if we believe ourselves to be the Khalifa? So if we are believing in God as Muslims, God has made everything to give his service to his Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has made everything in the sky. That means the universe or the external world. He has made everything in the skies. The skies, he said, skies, plural, samawat, everything in the skies. And the world, the Quran says he made it to give its service to his Khalifa. And he puts Khalifa into the plural, meaning there will be Khalifas, many all over the world. And there will be generations after generations. They will continue just like the generation of man. In fact, the Khalifa is the real line of the generation of man. It is the real line of the generation of man, he says, that he has made us Khalifas, or Khalifas in the earth. And then we, if we understand that, we see that our starting point is Khalifa, something that is not finished. The finished line for the Khalifa is Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And with him, all of us, if we follow his revelation, his pattern, his suad, his uswa, his pattern, who can motivate us better than God? The starting point is that point, as long as we perceive or see ourselves in our ability and our creative ability, our inherent or creative ability, as long as we see ourselves native ability all referring to the same as Khalifa, then we don't need anybody to motivate us. Who can motivate us better than God? God is the best motivation to motivate us. So Khalifa is for everyone in the essence of pristine nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us that all of us in our ascension, or essence, pardon me, all of us in our pristine nature, in our original capacity, all of us have the potential to be his Khalifa on this earth. There are learned Muslims that I have met from different parts of the world, particularly from Pakistan, India, and Palestine, and Palestinians, hinting very strongly to me by or from a Saudi or an Egyptian that maybe Allah is making a Khalifa in America. I've had some Asians come up to me and even told me. And I told them the same thing I told you all. The Khalifa is not meant to be one man. We all are Khalifas. And if we have someone who qualifies to be the leader for us all, then that person simply shouldn't be called leader. He should simply be called the leader for that group or the imam, but not Khalifa. That term is reserved because it is the property of the common person. It is the inheritance of the common person. And if you make it a title for your leader, you'll take the common person mind off of it as their inheritance. They told me that, and I witnessed inside. They were telling the truth. The Khalifa is being made in America. The biggest job of light, conditioning the light. So when light comes, it doesn't only show us where you can go, but light makes you feel better inside. Light is revealing. Darkness is burdensome, especially when you want to do things. That's why God says he made the darkness to oppress and made the light to liberate. If light conditions us, as well as clear the environment, so we can see where to go and how to go about it. What is this conditioning? And I was about to say conditioning is that it makes you feel better and it makes you less burdened. It makes you more prepared to act or to move, to do the things you have to do. And it evolves you that way. That's why the light is also called the light. It elevates you. It makes you feel more alive and more active. You've got more energy to go now. And it actually energizes you. Light energizes the spirit, just like the physical electricity energizes whatever it's sent into, right? So the light energizes the spirit. And it also conforms, gives comfort, because with light comes warmth, too. So the same light that gives us light also gives us warmth. The sun, the original light, the biggest light we have, the one that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had hung up in the ceiling. And when it is hung up there, all other lights lose their attention. They are not on stage anymore, still exist, but they have no stage anymore. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hangs that big sun up there in the daytime, the sun, what is the role of that light? And this is the light that we should be comparing the light of revelation with. Sun and light, the sun and the light is a sign, a metaphor in our world pointing us to really the true light, which is the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. It is a sign of that. So let's look at the sun as a symbol now, as a sign of the real thing. So this sun does not only clear the environment for us to see things and approach them more safely and manage them more safely, etc. All this, but it also recognizes or energizes us. It contributes to a happier day for us. Oh, look how bright. Isn't this a beautiful, bright day? Sun symbolic of happiness. I've heard men of wisdom in ancient scriptures say that originally the sun was not a symbol of light, though it was the light. They say it was a symbol of happiness. The light, the sun comes up, then happiness. The light of the sun meant happiness. The influence was happiness. So this is what is meant to the ancient people. I am told, and I believe it. I believe it, and I also did some research. I believe that the ancient time, they saw it mainly as a symbol of happiness, not just light. So we know that it is the element behind all other development. The sun influences weather more so than anything else. The sun acts upon the earth, acting upon the environment, maybe not directly all the time, but the sun in its role influences weather more than anything else. It is the force behind all weather, cold, heat, cold and hot, rain and snow, sleet, everything, tide. It says that the moon controls the tide. That's what they said. The moon has no light of its own. The moon has no phases without the sun. Its phases are caused by the sun and its path and its relationship to the earth in their path around the sun. So this is how we have explained it. So we explain whatever happens to the moon, whatever happens to the earth. If we explain it, we'll have to go to the sun to explain it. Tamin Manun, warm soil. Earth, the womb for all life. Tamin Hanun, from dying and decaying soul. Now, plants grow not really because of the rain. It is in the additive. Plants grow because of the sun on the earth. The earth is the womb. The earth has the germ. But the sun must feed it. Now, before even there was germs in the earth, there was the sun. And the sun in time made the germ the production. Scientific thinkers, I am sure you just instantly, you see it all. Because we know before there was animal life, plant life, and animal life, and a lot of dying and decaying finally made human souls. That's how human souls came into existence. And now from the human soul, we get all the great production. Things coming up and dying. Death building up the soil is what has made it possible for us to have the richness of soil, humus, that we have now. God made his man from what? Humus. Not just soil, humus. Humus Mesnun. He made his land from human Mesnun. He made his land from rich soil, fertile soil. An expression humus is for the people of that time. In their language, humus Mesnun means warm soil. So you got a lot of life and a lot of fertility in the soul, and it's hotter than the soil without fertility. You who work with soil, you know. You put your hand in the rich soil and it feels it is. Then put it in sand and the sand is cooler. So the more fertile soil is warmer. Masnoon is a play on. It might be offensive to your smell. So some translation says from stinky mud. Then they translate it from stinky mud. That's not an exact translation. That is not a perfect translation. There is nothing there that says stinky, but it just says that it is warm. It has heat, and it is something that you might despise. But out of that comes the possibility for your life and your future. So what built up all of that humus for the life to be created out of? The sun. And the sun appears to ancient man to rise up, really, from the bowels of the earth. You see, ancient man was not scientific, so he didn't know where the sun was coming up from. The only thing he knew or he saw was that it was coming up. So when he was out at sea, it looked like it's dripping some of its fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water. If he was at sea, or if he was on an ocean, then the ocean was the east. When it rolled out of the ocean, he thought the sun was actually rising up out of the water. And it appeared actually to be dripping some of its fire back into the water. So I've seen it. It doesn't come up clean and clear. I mean clear of the water. When it rises up, you see beneath the sun the illusion that the sun looks like it's dripping some of its fire down into the water as it's coming up. God has made the rising of the sun on ocean front or lake front or things like that to appear to man as actually it is coming out of the water. And if the land is open, it appears that it is coming up out of the earth itself, as the sun is actually coming up out of the earth. If the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky. And any explanation without science, it is a spooky thing, isn't it? Only science took the spook out of it. So we know now that that is just an alienate body of fire, of burning material. We know that now. But ancient man did not. He was in the Tholomat, the oppressive darkness, and he was being formed. And God formed him to believe that a God is doing this. And this is a sign to me that I have to read. So what? How shall I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his Lord. He doesn't know science either. But he believes in his Lord. He knows that something did it all. How am I to read this, my Lord? He finally come to read it as God intended for him to read it. That's the potential of the sun rising up out of the earth. That's the potential of the sun coming up out of the earth to light the earth. Now look at your earth, your body. He also made a sun to rise in your body, in the dead matter of your body. And once your potential rises up and frees itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes, it was a sign that God gave ancient man. And then the language becomes confused in time. And they take the sun to be God. I may say then that the Khalifa can be metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? So the Khalifa, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. We must come to understanding religion, the life history of religion. Because when we are talking about religion today, we are talking about religion in a completely new picture or a new focus or a view from that means that man had made before. What we call the traditional or classical prophets of God. You know, we talk about Adam. We have the history, man's history bears witness to certain developments in the life of the religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what the modern world came to call heathenism, paganism, idol worship. So religion of early man was not corrupt. Paganism, idolatry, declined in religion. I believe that what we call paganism and heathenism, idol worship, I believe that this represents a decline in religion. I believe that originally man did have what we may call, for want of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of paganism and heathenism. I believe that his religion was the best that could come about in his time, in human conditions and circumstances. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier, things in the environment as messengers themselves of the God behind it all. He saw these things as messengers, the sun as a message, giving him a message. The trees, or the particular trees that attracted him, his attention more than others, as a messenger giving him a message. So Khalifa is sun. Now, it is interesting to me to note that in some language, sun, S-U-N, and S-U-N outside, it's nature, natural, neutral, or of nature, gender. In some languages, it is masculine. In some languages, it is feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I established earlier is correct, then the sun may be used as a sign or a symbol of Khalifa, the potential that is in us, that once it is freed and released, it becomes the light of our world. If I am right, correct in that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. They can't give a gender to sun. One language says it's a she. Another language says it's a he. Another language says it's nature, potential, and our particular, we are both males and females. Women, not cause. The cause of downfall of man. Isn't this the same problem we have with our own selves? This sex problem we have? We can't decide whether we should be men or women, female or male, or unisex, or what? But in our potential, we're both. And the best ruler, as I said earlier, he must have both in him. The sensitivity of both in him in order to be a good ruler. Now, that takes a lot of the macho out of the man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you are a normal man, come up naturally and normally, that right muscle is a little stronger than the left one. You have a male side and a female side. Brain stronger intellectually on so-called left weaker body side. So actually you have a female side and a male side. But the scientist says most of your best help for your intellect comes from this left side and not from the right side. Isn't that what they say? So the weaker side physically is the strongest side when it comes to intellectual integrity. And you know the beginning of the intellect for Adam didn't come until he had a wife. I'm talking straight, man. Actual facts of history, of language, of scripture, etc. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife. So you say, oh, but that wife caused him to lose his sight. No, he just had to have a night in which to rest so he could wake up and have more energy for another day and a better day. Because each time he went to sleep, when he woke up better, more prepared for the day, better prepared for the day. And in Al-Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife isn't a partner with the serpent in Al-Islam. The serpent is acting by himself, and he is the serpent, is deceiving both male and the female. So he is causing the problem for both of them. And the woman is not helping him. She is not his partner in Al-Islam. Understand that, Baptist brother, who is teaching Islam now. Man, two stages, natural possibility, then revelation. Now, a point that I want to make here is this, that religion has taken man to two stages, religion for man. In the first stage was man in the hands of God that represented natural possibility before revelation. So religion for us begins with Adam, the first man. And the first man with us means the beginning of the strain and the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, the bringing or beginning for us is the beginning for revealed religion, revealed to Adam. God revealed to Adam. Adam, man of human nature, not sin. He failed to learn not to commit bigger obstacles in the future. Salakallahu al-Din, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah, it only means that it pleases God. We want to ask you to make a prayer, a dua, for our sister Al-Hajj Baina that she passed away. Her janazah was the day, but we don't pray for the body, we pray for the soul. So you can continue to pray for her and ask Allah to bless her. And bless our family in their hour of bereavement. Once again, we thank you. We thank New Africa, Excellent Muradsky, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.